right, if you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll begin our study today. We're talking about the family. And so we want to build a good foundation so that we can understand these things and apply them and make them work in our lives. And so Ephesians chapter 5 is a good place to start. And we're just going to talk about two verses. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start with verse 15. We'll go three verses. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So here, the Apostle Paul, writing to this Gentile church, lets them and us know that God wants us to walk in wisdom. He does not want us to live our lives foolishly or apart from His wisdom. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. There's a contrast there. If you're not walking in the wisdom of God, if you're not being wise, then you're a fool. And so if you have a choice, A or B, wise or fool, don't pick fool. Fools don't live very well. Things don't go very well for fools. Rather, choose wisdom. Now, the word circumspectly is an old Greek word. If you break the word apart, circum and spect. Spect means to see or to look. Circum means around. And so he's simply saying, look around you. Pay attention to what's going on. Don't be a fool, but be wise. And in order to be wise, you have to understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Are you with me? And so what I'm going to do is teach you the word, teach you the wisdom of God. You can take it and do with it what you will. But if I had a choice between wise and fool, I would pick wise every time. Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 24. Let's continue to build upon this foundation. We're going to talk about the family, but we need to understand how God does things. Proverbs chapter 24. These are verses we touched on last week, verses 3 and 4. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4 says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, there are two Hebrew words in these verses that we need to understand. The first one is the word that's translated house. Through wisdom is a house builded, the Hebrew word bayith. The word bayith does not refer to a structure. It's not talking about a building with windows and doors. It's rather talking about a family. Amen. Through wisdom is a family built. And by understanding. So it's not talking about a building. It's talking about a family. Notice it says, and by, well, let's go back. Through wisdom is a house built. And by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So he's not talking about a house, he's talking about families. Through wisdoms are families built. The word built or builded, depending on what version of the Old Testament you have, is another Hebrew word, bana. And that word bana means to build, construct, or to repair. And so we're going to share the wisdom of God, the Word of God, that will enable you to build or construct your family properly, or if need be, repair it. How many of you know God's in the restoration business? I mean, we come from different places, different experiences, different life experiences, and all of them were not good. You know, I've talked about my family for decades. You know, my parents divorced when I was 12 years old. I thought it was the greatest thing, because at least I knew one of them wouldn't kill the other one. But it was hard. It was tough. My mother struggled. We were dirt poor. And that's the result of a broken relationship. Many times, poverty. Poverty is a killer. It is. It'll kill your dreams. It'll kill your hopes. It'll completely wipe out, you know, it can. It has the ability to wipe out God's plan for your life. You know, and what my parents went through was an awful thing. God doesn't endorse divorce. I wish it had never happened. But I was a participant, but an unwilling participant, a spectator. And so, you know, my family growing up was dysfunctional. I'm not alone, okay? But the great thing is, the wisdom of God will not only help you build it properly, but it'll help you repair it, fix it, get it right. And that's the wonderful thing about the Word of God. Now, notice it talks about wisdom, you know, through wisdom is a house builded, and by knowledge is it established. Let's define some things for you. And these definitions, I'm so thankful for Pastor Bob Yandian, because he was a very skillful teacher, and I learned so much from him. But what is wisdom and what is knowledge? Knowledge is, let's put it this way, knowledge is the taking in of the Word of God. Wisdom is the putting out of the Word of God. All right? Let's drill down a little further. Think of it like this. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. Wisdom is the proper application of those facts. Got it? Wisdom is properly applying the knowledge that you have. And so by knowing the right thing, you can build your family as God designed it. Or repair your family, to put it as God designed it. And the wisdom is the proper application of those principles. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and said, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, let's go back to Proverbs 24. I want to show you something. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That statement is so packed full of good stuff. The phrase riches and pleasant things paints a picture of having enough, something that is excellent, or, and I like this, the Old Testament even refers to it like this, something that's sweet. God's design for the family is that it be rich, that means you have enough, that it be excellent, and that it be sweet. And so that's what we're going to share, these principles, so that you can not just know them, but apply them to your own family. All right? Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll deal with this. We're talking about wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs chapter 2. And we'll go to verse 6. Notice what it says. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. God has designed the system so that you can get the wisdom and knowledge that you need to experience His blessing in the earth. And He's done it in such a way that He's stored it up for you and sort of hidden it away so that you can access it anytime that you want. And that's such a wonderful thing. You know, every time we open our Bibles, we're accessing the wisdom to live life as God designed it. Here's the wisdom, to live life as God's designed it. Or somebody said it like this, we're accessing the wisdom to live the best life possible. We're accessing the wisdom to live the best life possible. It's possible. And it's revealed in the pages of the book. Now, notice, he's talking about sound wisdom. These principles have existed as long as man has been on the planet. But you know what? They're tried, they're true, and they work. The problem has been when we haven't put them into practice. When we haven't done it his way. We've decided to do it our own way. Or we've decided there's a better way. Or we just disregard the principles that God has established and put them to the side and do our own thing. Well, it never works out very well when you do your own thing. You know, I can hear that song. It's your thing. Isley Brothers. Do what you want to do. Da 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 da. Well, you can do that. But I dare say the end result's not what you want. Are you with me? And see, that's the culture that we live in. We live in a culture that is crazy and lost. Crazy and lost. And they're confused about just about everything, including what a family is. Now, you know, I'm not taking a political position. I'm just telling you what the Word of God teaches. You can do with it what you want. But there are some people who are so confused, they don't know whether they're coming or going, male or female. Are you with me? Now, I don't advocate being prejudiced against anybody. I don't advocate hating anybody. I don't hate anybody. We need to help people, not destroy their lives. But there are certain standards that work, and there are other things that don't. There again, do what you want to do. But I'm just telling you, if you want excellence, if you want a relationship that's sweet, if you want something that works God's way, the best life possible, the answers are in the book. And that's what we're going to talk about. Amen? And so we need to understand these things so that we can practice them. Now, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. There again, we're laying a foundation. And there's a statement found in Proverbs chapter 14 that we need to understand because it's repeated verbatim in another section of Scripture. But Proverbs 14, verse 12, says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know, have you ever heard anybody say this statement? Well, you know, just seems right to me. You know, I had a guy not long ago, I'm listening to his conversation. He said, well, you know, this is my truth. Okay. You know, this is what I believe. And this guy was under investigation for having sex with underage girls. But this is my truth. This is the way I see it. Well, you might see it that way. The rest of society does not. In fact, there are criminal penalties for what you're doing. You with me? But there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. You find this statement repeated verbatim in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Verbatim, word for word, says the same thing. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There again, you know, people have a choice. Do you realize that God has never forced anybody to follow Him? Did you know that? Even the children of Israel, when He led them out of Egypt and out of bondage, 400 years of slavery, when he delivered them by signs, wonders, and miracles. I mean, God did some awesome stuff to set these people free. Then when they were in the wilderness, he sent half of the tribes of the children of Israel out to Mount Gerizim, and he sent the other half over to Mount Ebal. And they proclaimed from Mount Gerizim, listen, if you obey the Lord and follow his principles and do what he says is right, then all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. In other words, life will be sweet. But if you don't, then the group on Mount Ebal declared, if you don't follow the Lord and follow his principles and precepts, then here's what's going to happen to you. Here are the curses that will come upon you. And they're mean, ugly, and nasty. And finally, Moses said, today you choose which one you're going to follow. In fact, he gave him a little help. He said, choose life, that you and your seed, your family, may live. There again, choice. A, wisdom. B, foolish. Which one are you going to pick? Please pick wisdom. Because a fool has it hard. It's tough being a fool. Are you with me? Being a fool ain't no fun. As time goes on, it gets less and less fun. Our culture is confused and it's lost. Let's look at another scripture. Jesus said something about this in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll look at verses 13 and 14. If you got it, say, I got it. All right. Let's notice what Jesus said. Matthew 7:13. Jesus said this, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So Jesus understood this, and he's simply telling his disciples and telling us, don't follow the herd. Don't follow the herd. You know why? Because the herd is wrong. Most of our culture is wrong. Not an indictment against people, but most people are like cows or sheep. They just follow the herd. You ever been to a slaughterhouse? You ever seen animals get slaughtered? They just march right to their deaths. Don't think anything about it until it's too late. You with me? And so we have a responsibility to walk in wisdom. Don't follow the herd. Don't do what everybody else does just because they do it. You know, or just because it's cool, or just because it feels good. You know, that was another cliche saying from my generation, the 70s. Hey, if it feels good, do it. Well, the only problem with that is it'll get you killed. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day where I went to college. I went to Penn State. I'm a Penn State grad. I went to the Fayette campus of Penn State between Uniontown and Connellsville. And, you know, when I grew up in the 70s, I graduated high school in 74. Best class there ever was. Anyway, I went to a rural country school. I went to Mary Fuller Frazier Memorial High School in Perryopolis, Pennsylvania. I lived in Whitsett, Pennsylvania, a little abandoned coal mining town along the Youghiogheny River. And, you know, during the 70s, you know, there were a lot of things that were changing in our culture and our society. drugs were abundant in my high school. I mean, our school was small. We graduated 140. That's it. Everybody knew each other. Your parents knew each other. Your grandparents knew each other. Small community. But drugs were abundant, sex was abundant, all the things that, you know, things haven't changed. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. There isn't. Same old stuff, different wrapper, same junk. And so I grew up with the same temptations and things that, people face today. I mean, when I was in high school, you could buy weed, you could buy hash. Crack wasn't invented yet. We couldn't afford cocaine. It was too expensive. That was a rich kid's drug, you know. But anything you wanted, it was there. Pills, uppers, downers, you know, speed, LSD. It was abundant. Well, that culture continued as we got into high school. And, you know, people getting high and, drinking and stuff like that was common. And a lot of my friends who, now were going to college and had gotten away from the family structure started to experiment with these things. And they're still my friends today. I got one of my friends, I won't mention his name, I saw him at one of our high school reunions. I said, man, how you doing? How you been? And he looked at me and he says, man, 15 years of my life are a big blur. I don't remember anything. 15 years of his life just gone because he was doing drugs and getting high. You know, well, you lose 15 years of your life, it's kind of hard to establish your family. But thank God he had come to Jesus, and now God was beginning to rebuild his life so that he could do something with his family. Are you with me? But hey, that's just the way we grew up. You know, I remember I was in between classes one time, and I was, going into the, you know, our campus wasn't real big. We had two classroom buildings. We didn't even have dorms back then. And so we were all commuters. It was a commuter campus. And so I remember going to class one winter, and there was a fella standing outside, and he was struggling to stay upright. You know, he's kind of staggering, and his pants fell down around his ankles. And it's cold, man. Wind, you know, it's kind of hilly just before the, Appalachian Mountains down there. And so you had a lot of wind. And so he's standing there with his bare butt exposed, struggling to stand up. You know, and students are walking by laughing at the guy. You know. And so I knew he wasn't going to make it in. So he fell down in the snow and he tried to stand up. He's got his pants around his ankles. And so I walked over to him, picked him up, pulled his pants up, and he, hey, man, and he was just high as a kite. You know, so I took him into the student union and, you know, laid him on one of the couches, and I found one of the guys at the hub, and I said, hey, this dude's stoned out of his mind. He was out there in the snow with his pants around his ankles. I said, you need to get him some help. You know, let him sleep it off, whatever. And so he said, okay. Well, what I didn't know was he was overdosing. And they rushed him to the hospital. And so the dean of the college called me into his office. And I'm thinking, dude, I didn't do anything. Oh, you know, I'm trying to help him. And I thought they were doing an investigation. And he said, Bill, I just called you in to say thank you. He said he was 15 minutes away from dying. He said, had you not brought him in and had we not been able to get him to the hospital in time, he'd be dead. He said, so thanks for just bringing him in. And I said, you're welcome. He said, I'd like to acknowledge you publicly, but we don't want to embarrass him or his family. I said, no problem. You know, there again, you know, everybody thinks getting high is cool till somebody dies. And so the things that we're dealing with are serious. And so there again, we have a choice. Wise or fool? A or B, take your pick. I don't know about you, but I like wise. And so I'm not going to follow the herd just because something is culturally cool or everybody, and everybody's not doing it. You know, that saying's been around forever. Everybody's doing it. No, they're not. No, they're not. Even Elijah fell into that trap. You know, oh God, everybody's wicked. I'm the only one. And God said, oh, shut up. I got 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You just don't know it. You with me? So there are plenty of people walking in the wisdom of God, building their families God's way, repairing their families God's way. Don't think everybody is a fool. They're not. So the question you have to answer is, which one are you going to be? Amen? All right. Now, let's go a little further. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And let's build on this foundation of the family. And we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, okay? And so we have to also realize and understand that our culture today is a little bit different than the culture that existed in ancient times. And so we're going to see a lot of things that maybe are a little out of whack, if you will. And we've got to understand that God is dealing with what's available or what's in front of Him. I mean, think about Paul the Apostle. He's writing to people who, you know, having sex with anything and anybody was common. Multiple marriages were common. Now, in Hebrew culture, in the Old Testament, you notice the Old Testament doesn't say a whole lot about dating. You ever think about that? How to find a mate, how to find it. You know why? Because a lot of their marriages were arranged. Arranged marriages. We don't do that anymore. You with me? I wouldn't want my mother picking my spouse. Would you? I remember once when I was in high school. Remember once when I was in high school, my mother, we knew a family in Grindstone, PA. That was another little coal mining town down the way. And there was this girl, and my mother thought, you know, she is so nice. Why don't you take her to the Christmas party? This is what my mama said. And I'm like, eh, okay. So the store that I worked at when I went to college had a Christmas party, and so I invited this gal to go to the Christmas party. You know, my mother thought she was sweet. Now, when I went over the house, I met mom and dad, and I knew her from high school. She was a class behind me, a year behind me. And I didn't date a lot of girls, okay? I'm 18 years old, and it's the first time I actually go out with somebody. And here my mother had arranged it, right? And so I go over her house, I meet mom and dad, I meet her brother. And then her sister plays on the piano. Da, 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 da. I meet grandma and grandpa. I mean, who does that anymore? And so I met them, they met me, and so we go to the Christmas party. And so at the Christmas party, you know, I was not a drinker. I didn't drink alcohol, but they served alcohol. And this girl was knocking them down left and right. Boom, boom, boom. Hard liquor, man. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute. Ease up a little bit. I mean, she's slamming them down all night long. And I thought, oh, gosh, I'm getting embarrassed. They're going to think I brought a lush to the Christmas party, you know, this girl. I'm thinking, what are people thinking of? All these thoughts are going through my mind. And so, but she could take it. I mean, she slammed that liquor down. And, you know, fortunately, I was driving. Hey, I'm just telling you where we were. And so I took her home and went back, and my mom says, boy, she was nice, wasn't she? Isn't she a nice gal? I said, Ma, she drunk all those men under the table. I mean, she was slamming liquor down like crazy. That's not the kind of person I want to spend much time with. That's just me. Okay? She's too good at drinking. All right? She's too good at drinking. And, you know, that's all I'm going to say about that. But I'm glad my mama is not picking my spouses, aren't you? Now, having said that, we have to understand that we come from different cultures. We have different traditions. Here's a word you need to delete from your vocabulary. You ready? It's the word race. Race is not a biblical term. The Bible never refers to race unless it's talking about an athletic event. The Bible never uses that word. That's a man-made word that was used to subjugate people. The proper biblical term is ethnos, nation. Nations are divided by language and culture, never by skin color. You with me? Now, nations are divided by language and culture. We have different cultures. Burmese culture is different than Vietnamese culture. Indian culture is different than Pakistani culture. Rwandan culture is different than Ghanaian culture. Erie culture is a little different than L.A. Amen? I like L.A. I like L.A. We were in L.A. a couple of years ago. I love it. The weather, the beaches, the food, the people. What I didn't like was the traffic. 12 miles take you an hour and 20 minutes. And that's not getting on the freeway. But I love L.A. We're going back to L.A. this year. Amen? We already talked about it. We know we're going. Amen. So, where was I? Colossians chapter 1? Are you there yet? All right. Notice verses 9 and 10. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So here Paul writes to this Gentile church and lets them know that he's praying for them, that they might be filled with the knowledge of the will of God and please Him, be fruitful in everything they do, and increase in their knowledge of God. Now, how does that come? Two ways. Number one, by the Word of God. Number two, by the Holy Spirit. So how do we navigate through life concerning our families? Two ways. By the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to teach you what the Word of God says. And then the Holy Spirit will take that word and paint it on the canvas of your life so that you can either establish or rebuild your family. You with me? So the Word of God is where we get the will of God. We're not part of the herd. We're not following the culture. You can call yourself anything you want. I'm going to live God's way. I'll love you as you slide through the stalls following the herd. But I'm going to do it God's way. You know why? Because I want to have enough. I want my family to be excellent. And I want it to be sweet. Amen? Okay, now let's drill down, get into it. You ready? Oftentimes when I teach this series, I tell people, buckle your seatbelt. We're not going to get to that part yet. But go to Mark chapter 10. I believe it's Mark chapter 10. Yeah, Mark chapter 10. And this is probably where we'll wrap up for today. But this is where we'll pick up next week. So if we're going to walk in the wisdom of God and be full of the knowledge of His will, then we must be full of His Word. Because the will of God is revealed by the Word of God. Mark chapter 10. Now, we'll talk about the setting here because the setting and the context is important. This is why this question that we're going to read arose. Mark chapter 10, verse 1. Then He arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. And multitudes gathered to Him again, and as He was accustomed, He taught them again. Then the Pharisees came and asked Him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Testing Him. Now, let's understand the context and the setting. Why in the world would the Pharisees ask Him this question at this time? Answer: it's obvious that Jesus was teaching about the marriage and family. You with me? See, a lot of us think that Jesus just, you know, went around preaching about heaven. No, he didn't. He taught, he preached, he healed. He taught about a lot of things. Because life is complex. It involves a lot of things. Jesus taught a lot of things because the Bible teaches and says a lot of things about life because it's complex. We got to deal with a lot of stuff. Such is life. Join the club. Amen? So Jesus was obviously teaching about marriage and the family. And then this question comes up from the Pharisees. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Why'd they ask him that? They were testing him. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Powerful statement. There's a lot that Jesus, and I believe, I truly believe, that Jesus made this statement this way because God knows ultimately what is in the heart of man and what men will contrive to do. Because every man thinks what he's doing is right in his own eyes, not knowing that the end result is death. Notice what Jesus said. From the beginning of creation, it was not so. God made them male and female. This is God's definition of marriage, male and female. We have a culture, we're living in a culture that's crazy. All right? And we know our contemporary culture. We don't hate anybody. We love everybody. But a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman is not God's design. That's not his original intent. I'm not a hater. I'm just telling you the way God designed it to be. We don't hate anybody. All right? And we don't look down on anybody. Jesus died for everybody. Doesn't matter what state. My wife asked me one time, she said, well, do you want, what about lesbians? You want lesbians to come to? Yeah, I want lesbians to come to the church. We've got them. Amen? How else are they going to get help? How else are they going to get free? I don't hate them. Love them. Do anything I can to help them. But I'm just saying that wasn't God's design. You can try to force it. I'm sorry, it just don't work. It doesn't work. You know, I this morning I got up and I cut myself a little slice of some Wegmans coffee cake. Little slice. Use my butter knife to cut some coffee cake. I can use that same butter knife and try to shave. You know, or I can get a steak knife. It's a little sharper and try to shave. Well, I think I could accomplish the task, but that's not what it was made for. You with me? A butter knife is meant for butter and coffee cake. A steak knife was meant for steak, not your face. Just because something can be used that way does not mean it was designed for that. Are you with me? Miles Monroe defined it like this. He went outside one day and his wife was using a butter knife to dig around the flowers. He said, what are you doing? She said, I'm digging around the flowers. He says, you know, they make a tool for that. She said, yeah, but I can do it with this. He said, that's not what it was designed for. He said, you're abusing that butter knife. What is abuse? Abnormal use. And what we have in a lot of relationships is abuse. You can try to fit it all you want. I've got a nephew who was born with a penis and testicles, but he thinks he's a girl. Do what you want, brother. Dress up, wear makeup, all that good stuff. Take estrogen and... Yeah. I'm sorry. You are what you are. And see, in part, the reason some people are confused, they don't know who they are. Well, I have news for you. When you come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to find out who you are in Him. See, I know who I am in Christ. I don't have to pretend to be anybody else. Amen? Now, I don't hate anybody. Love everybody. You know, saw my nephew. I called him by his male name. That's what he was born with. I didn't know what he calls himself. I hadn't seen him in years. You know, hey, who? Hey, Uncle Dave. I'm still his uncle. I still love him. I don't hate him. I love him. I want to help him. Hey, you can go home today and stand in your garage and pretend to be a Mercedes-Benz. Just because you're standing in your garage doesn't make you a car. Amen? That's our culture. We're confused. We don't hate anybody. Wouldn't do harm to anybody. But I'm just going to teach you the principles of the Word. Jesus said from the beginning it was not so. God created them male and female. Now, notice what he said. And this will be a bridge into our next lesson. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. And so there is a lot that Jesus revealed there. Now remember, the Pharisees were testing him about divorce. And Jesus acknowledged, yeah, Moses wrote it into the law because of the hardness of your hearts, but it was never God's plan. That wasn't God's idea. Moses did it for you. But from the beginning, God created them male and female. Jesus said that for a reason. He knew what our culture would be like in 2018. So shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they twain too shall be one flesh. There's a lot that's said in these verses, and that's where we'll pick up next week. Amen? Did you guys learn anything you didn't know today? Are you so glad that God loves us? That He wants us to have families that are blessed, that are excellent, and that are sweet? We're going to talk about some things in the next few lessons that have to deal with everyday life, that have to deal with our culture, that have to deal with our families. Amen? I'm fortunate enough now that I'm 61 years old, that I've experienced a lot in life. In many instances, in many situations, I can tell you, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Okay? But we need to understand how to teach these things to our children, how to apply the wisdom of God to our own lives and to our own families. Amen? And so we want to help people. We want their lives to be blessed. And we can't control everything. Especially you parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles. You can't control what your children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews do, but you sure can pray for them. And you sure can be a light and a witness to them. Are you with me? And I'll tell you this story. My son is, he'll be 38 years old next month. My son DJ, he and his wife Jen live in Coriopolis. Got two wonderful kids, Hudson and Penelope, my grandchildren. And so next month is Hudson's birthday party. Same month, his grandmother was born in, Carol, Jen's mom, and my son was born in February. But when DJ was a little boy, I made a point to be a father to him because he's my son. And so there were times I had to discipline him. There were many times I had to teach him. I tried to lead by example I remember one time I took him with me. I went to play basketball, and there was a little playground not far from the basketball court, and there were some guys playing basketball, and they were in high school. And so we're playing ball together, just pickup ball. And these guys in high school, I think it was early in the year, school year. It was probably November, but this is in Missouri. So it's, you know, weather's still nice in Missouri in November. And so these guys are shooting around, talking about how many hoes they've had so far since they've been back to school. Yeah, I got that hoe and this hoe and this, and she did this and did that and this, that, and the other. And my son's close by. He heard the whole thing. And so they were talking about all of this stuff. And so afterwards, I got in the car with my son, and he's 5 years old. I said, DJ, I said, did you hear what those boys were talking about? Yeah, Dad. I said, I want you to know what they were talking about. We got into school. I said, that ain't right. I said, that's not the way you're supposed to live. He said, okay, Dad. Now, he's only five. I said, DJ, did you hear the language they were using? Yeah, Dad. I mean, they were... they didn't think too highly of these girls. You put it mildly. Okay? I said, did you hear how they were talking about these? Yeah, Dad. I said, that's not the way a Christian's supposed to talk. He said, okay, Dad. And so, I mean, I'm thinking, I have him. He's saying, okay, okay. Then I ask him this. I said, DJ, did you ever hear Daddy talk that way? He said, no. I said, you shouldn't talk that way either. He said, okay, Dad. What am I doing? What was I doing? Leading him by precept and by example. Okay? Now, if I use language like that, I don't have a leg to stand on. Unless I say, you know, DJ, I've been talking like that. I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. I've had to do that too. You with me? And so I had to teach him that what he heard was wrong and tell him why and then give him an example. I don't do that. And I don't talk that way. Neither should you. I'm happy to say that my son and his wife have a wonderful marriage. And, you know, they're from two different cultures. And they love each other. The families love each other. And it's sweet. Amen? It's sweet. And I would do anything for them. I'm sure they would do anything for me. And it's kind of fun to watch your kids grow up and see as they develop and grow and go through different challenges that you've been through. You know. Hey, that's the way life was designed. Amen? So we can follow the herd and end up in our latter years, if we live that long, alone. Especially, you know, I heard a pastor talk to his men in his church. He says, if you think you're a player, you want to be a player? He said, okay, keep living that lifestyle. He said, you're the guy who's going to be in the nursing home having somebody change your diaper after you boo-boo. Or you can do it God's way and grow old with your wife and you take care of each other. Amen? That's the way God designed it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wisdom of God, for the knowledge of God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your concern for each and every one of us and for our families. And so I pray today as we start this new year that you would not only give us knowledge and understanding, but give us the wisdom to apply it so that we can begin to build and or repair families and do things in such a manner that we learn these principles and live them out. So we can live by example, lead by example, and be a blessing to those who are coming behind us. Thank you so much for your hand upon these people and their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Thank you for coming out this morning. We've got some great things in store this year. Keep in mind, if you want to do a Super Bowl thing, just see Brother Coleman After service, if you're going to volunteer and work with the ushers, they're having a meeting downstairs, right?
Yes.
I think it's downstairs. Just see Fred and Margie. They'll have a brief meeting down there. But we do have refreshments. Good to see everybody. I want you to have a great week and be blessed. We'll see you Wednesday for the final session on healing and health. Amen. Other than that, be blessed. Have a great week. Amen.